love hearing a couple of things. I love hearing from a doc who's been as successful as you that, A, there's no silver bullet. Like, yeah. Oh, please, like, you know, that needs to be preached from the mountaintops for everyone to understand that, like, there's no silver bullet. Stop looking for it. It's hard work. It's showing up. It's time. It's lessons. It's mistakes. Right. And then also just keep showing up, because I was taught early on in my career by one of my mentors, T.R. Becker, that two sentences take you out the game are, I already know this, and this won't work for me. Welcome to the DC Practice Growth Summit. We are super excited. You know, the largest collection online that I know of people watching this type of thing. And we're really excited to have an incredible DC on today, on this section. He is, he's been across to the UK. He's done a lot in America. He doesn't need much of introduction. He's been on TV a million times, on news channels all over the world. He's just been to China representing chiropractic. He literally had a billboard bigger than you could ever imagine. Just, and he was literally on the side of buses there. He's just an incredibly impressive human being. So Dr. Alex Badan, say hi.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate that introduction. And I love what we do, man. It's been fantastic. I love getting the message out there and helping more people understand what chiropractic is all about. So it's been great.
Awesome. So listen, tell us a little bit about Dr. Alex, where you started practicing, your journey a little bit, early days of practice. Sure. Tell us a little about your story and maybe a little bit of how you got into chiropractic, and then, you know, how you ended up where you are now, your journey of your first practice and how you ended up to where you are now.
So my journey, the way I got into chiropractic is that I was actually, I was pre-med, I was working in a hospital, and years prior to that, I had suffered a concussion, a sports injury, got a concussion. Shortly after that, I started getting debilitating headaches and migraines. I would usually get about 5 to 6 headaches a week, and they would just always kind of be there, and I would get 1 to 2 debilitating migraines a month. Well, that lasted for years, and I was in the medical model. That's kind of the model that I had grown up with, as well as, you know, oh, let's be healthy and that kind of thing. But really, it was a medical model, right? And so I was pre-med working in the hospital, and I was helping out on surgeries. I was doing, like, I was all in, right? And one of my buddies kept on for years. He had been pushing me about, like, you need to go see my chiropractor. And I was like, why would I go see a chiropractor? He's like, for those headaches you're always getting, man. I was like, I don't get it. Like, how is a chiropractor going to help me with my headaches and with my migraines? You know, I've talked to all the doctors. I've talked to all the medical doctors. I've talked to surgeons. They keep wanting to push drugs and meds on me. And I hated taking any of that stuff because it just didn't fit with me. Like, innately, it didn't fit with me. And finally, one day, my buddy was on me about it, and I was dealing with the headaches and everything. And I was just like, all right, just give me this guy's number. Let me go check this thing out. And I got that first adjustment, and that was it. Like, wow. Right after that adjustment, I knew. Like, my head got clear immediately. And it was one of those times where I was just like, this is what I should be doing. Wow. And right from that moment, I was like, I'm going to be a chiropractor. And I started asking that chiropractor. I was like, tell me more about this. I need to know more. So he started telling me more about chiropractic and started kind of pouring into me a bit. And I was like, okay, I'm going to be a chiropractor. This is what I'm going to do now. And I thought from that moment forward, I was like, I'm going to be a chiropractor and I'm going to get on TV. Those were the only two things that I knew, because I thought, how come I didn't know about this before? And I thought, more people need to know about how great this chiropractic thing is, because I thought it was just neck pain, back pain, right? And I didn't have that. So I didn't understand why I would ever want to go to a chiropractor beforehand. But I knew once I had that adjustment, how amazing it was for me. And I just thought, more people need to know about this. So fast forward, I went through school. Actually, I should preface it with, my wife and I went through school together. We both graduated from undergrad together. Then we went through chiropractic school together. So she's a DC as well. And once we graduated, we started our own practice. And we got out there, started our own practice. We actually, it was a bad situation. Ended up being a great thing, but bad situation is, and we bought an existing practice, which was completely lied to. They lied to us on everything, on the patients that they were seeing, the books. They actually had 2 separate books. It was a whole mess, right? It was a really bad scenario, a bad situation. But at the same time of saying it was bad, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for those challenges that happened not not for, not to me, but happened actually for me, right? Uh-huh. And so those are the things that helped us get grit and determination. When we started off in practice, I mean, it was abysmal. It was horrible. We literally did everything from spent the night at the practice, like painting the walls because it was so bad in there. And we slept on the therapy tables and we did all those things because we didn't have money to pay anybody else to do anything. So we did it all, right? So I would answer phones while she was adjusting and then we'd switch and she would answer phones while I would adjust. And we did marketing, we did all those things. Eventually we ended up turning it all around and we ended up making it to where it was successful. And then we moved into a new space and made that space. We grew out of that space. And then now we're in our new space here, which we've been in for the past year, and it's over 5,000 or it's 5,000 square feet. We take care of, we're able to help a lot of patients here and we love it. And so that's kind of our story in a nutshell. I'd love to be able to say, man, when I first got out in practice, we just started killing it and crushing it. And it was amazing. But it wasn't, it was a much longer journey for us. We obviously still had a lot of lessons to learn and we've learn them, and we're still blessed that we're still learning lessons along the way here now. So it's good.
Very nice, very nice. So that beginning that you said, that whole process of the first practice, the lessons you learned from that.
Yeah.
And no doubt there's going to be someone watching this right now who's either thinking about buying a practice or about to open a beginning practice. So what did you learn? What did you learn? What would you do different if you had to do it again or if anything, but what were your biggest lessons you learned from that that you could possibly impart into someone? Just at least watch out for X, Y, and Z, whether it's a new practice. So what were your biggest lessons?
I would say I wouldn't change anything because I know that, and I know you reframed the question there, right? Mm-hmm. Because of that. And I totally get that because I wouldn't change anything because it would change the course of where I am now. And I wouldn't give anything up for where I am now because those lessons that I learned were amazing. I would say some of the biggest things that we learned was really like, I thought I was efficient and I thought that I worked and I thought that I was good at what I was doing whenever I started. But I realized at that time, I didn't know what I didn't even know.
Yeah. Right?
I had no clue of the things. I had no clue how much time I actually had to get things done that was wasteful. It was wasteful time. And, you know, thinking about those things at that moment and being like, oh man, I can't believe this happened to me. I can't believe this is the situation that we're in and all that kind of stuff. That energy that's spent there doesn't help anything. It doesn't get us to where we need to be. So the thing that I would say is understand that these things, whenever they happen, they don't happen to us, they happen for us. That was a huge, huge lesson that I learned at that moment because it's because of those things that happen that allowed us to get to where we are now. But you've got to have the grit, determination, and the willingness to admit. That was one of the biggest things too, was the willingness to admit, I'm doing something wrong here and I know I can do better, but searching for the answers. So I had to search for those answers. And I kept looking at it as like there's something else. And I probably never really said this publicly, so I'm glad that you asked me this question. I kept looking for it as, what's the thing that's gonna save me? Right, like what's the thing what's that next trick or that next gimmick?
Silver bullet or that?
Yeah, what's the silver bullet? Right, there are none. Right, it's all these things. Right, like what's that thing? Like there's got to be something that's hot right now that I can jump on and it's going to be sexy and everybody's going to love it and everybody's going to flock to it because of that. That's not how it works. You know, fortunately, that's not how it works. It might work like that for a period of time, but then you're looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. Mm. Whereas if you can change yourself and build yourself and do that and change your headspace, those are the things that were likely at the time, like the biggest lessons that I learned. And, you know, I was really fortunate in the fact that we figured that out with a lot of help from a lot of other people, kind of pointing us in the right direction and giving us advice and listening to that advice, no matter how difficult or how hard or how tough it was to swallow. Right. But we did. And because of that, we're where we are now. And, you know, and I still continue to listen to like what else other people are doing and what else is going on, which is what's great about what you're doing here with this, with the summit, is because there's so many people sharing their lessons of the things that they've gained from their life lessons, as well as just in practice and things that they've seen, that there's a lot of people out there that I hope that it brings value to. And I know that it will. And I hope that, you know, certain people are going to apply different things and they're going to take that and say, okay, this is something that resonates with me. So I'm going to do that. And I'm gonna go out with that because we all deserve that. We just have to be able to be willing to listen to it and reflect as to what it is that's going on. So,
you know, what's interesting about what you just said there is, you know, I truly believe, I live this, that I truly believe that the secret to success is show up. And you said something there, you said that I continue to invest and look after someone. And it's so funny, you know, if you go, I know you've experienced it before, some of the biggest conferences on the planet, the greatest trainings, etc. Often go look at that front row. And the front row basically is normally the people who don't need to be there.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like the people, and I'm speaking to converted. If you watch this right now, I'm speaking to converted. I mean, if you've, if you registered for the summit, there are some people that are watching this right now that don't, if you will, quote unquote, need to watch it, you know? But those are the people that show up, and those are the people who continue to succeed. So I just, I love hearing a couple of things. I love hearing from a doc who's been as successful as you that A, there's no silver bullet. Like, oh, please, like, you know, that needs to be preached from the mountaintops for everyone to understand that, like, there's no silver bullet. Stop looking for it. It's hard work. It's showing up. It's time. It's lessons. It's mistakes. And then also just keep showing up, because I was taught early on in my career by one of my mentors, T.R. Becker, that two sentences take you out the game are, I already know this, and this won't work for me. those two sentences take you out of the game. Then no learning can happen after, I already know this, and this won't work for me, or this will only work in Albuquerque, or only work in Canada, only work in UK, or whatever. So those are the two sentences I always say. Awesome. So quick shift. I wanted to ask you, one of the things you mentioned was, basically you were mentioning time and in a way, you mentioned along the lines of wearing many hats. So that, tell us about some of those hats that you have to wear in practice, and beginning as advice for someone to shift into more, to be able to be more effective. So what are some of the hats you talk about? Did you come to mind when I say that? And then what would you recommend to someone early in practice? Like, how do you delegate your time efficiently?
I would say that early in practice, one of the biggest things that I had to learn, and still to this day that I'm mindful of, and I do, is that I only spend time on those things that are most effective for me, right? So, for instance, I don't spend time watching a lot of sports and people think, oh, well, you take care of pro athletes. You probably watch all the sports, and they talk to me about sports, and I don't watch sports because I don't have time for that, right? I've got my family, right? So my wife and kids, I've got my practice. And you know, I've got the things that are most important to me that are highest on my priority chart. Watching anything on TV or anything like that, that's not for me. And so I say that from the place of whatever the thing is that you're spending time on, is it something that you need to spend time on, or is there other things you need to invest time on? So if we looked at time and we said, time is money, well, where are you spending it, and where are you investing it? Right. And so for me, I had to look at it from that standpoint of, I don't need to be playing games. If you do, great. You know, just factor that in. Like, I need to have an hour of that, or I need to have 30 minutes of that to just let my brain go and that kind of thing. If that's what you do, that's what you do. Right. That's okay. But make sure the rest of your time you're actually using effectively. For me, whenever we started off, and my wife, when we started off in practice, the idea was we were wearing every hat underneath. You know, we were the janitor, we were the painter, we were the, you know, all. I wasn't the electrician because I don't want to burn down the house, but you know what I mean? Like, it was, I did everything that we did, right? So I was the marketer, I was the person that answered the phone, I was the chiropractor, I was the business owner, I was all the stuff, I was everything. Eventually, what ended up happening was we started having, because at that time I had more time than I did money. So that's all we did, right? We did everything. And it started from getting up early and getting going to, and really hustling and making that time work, to then saying, okay, look, now I'm better at these things. I'm not good at these things. Let me delegate those things to other people that are better at that than me, so that they can do that, because now I have enough money to pay for those people, or I don't quite have it yet, but I'm going to invest in it with the thought process that that's going to come, right? I'm willing to take the risk on it, because you're a business owner. And when you're a business owner, a lot of times it's taking risks on things, right? And betting on things. They don't always pan out, but sometimes they do. And so when they do, then it's a hit and you take that. So I would say those were some of the biggest things for me, was looking at it as, how can I best use my time? Like, what's the stuff that I'm best suited for? And if I can focus all my energy and attention on that, then it's going to have the best outcome. If I can have other people that can focus their attention and energy on those things that they're best at, then we can get everybody situated and in the right place, right? Yeah. Right place on the bus, or the right position on the field, whatever, however you want to say it, right? Whenever we have all that coming, then it's like everything can start hitting the way that it's supposed to allow us to grow and expand and do more.
Okay. So basically, I mean, one of the things we talk about in my inner circle group is, and I've seen this so many times with people we work with, even my practices that I personally own and the docs we help, is honestly, the less a doc does, the busier they'll get.
Yes.
And by less, I mean, you know, in their genius zone. Like, I didn't want, like, we teach docs how to do Facebook advertising, etc. But I don't actually want my docs being people that click on the button on the Facebook ad. Like, you know, like, the less they do, the busier they'll get, you know, from that perspective. And I don't know if you know this, but obviously one of the biggest guys online right now is Russell Brunson. Obviously, huge, right? So, Russell Brunson can barely put together a Facebook ad himself. He barely knows where to click to actually do. He just is the strategist. Right. He's the guy that goes, I need this ad done, this ad done, this ad. And I want these people to see this. I want these people to see this. So that's an important, it's important. The strategy will always trump tactic. So let's talk about some strategy and tactics.
Yeah.
One of them was, you said, I loved it. You said there's, you know, you tried every quick, get rich quick thing. We've all done it. The thing is going to solve all our problems.
Of course.
And we forget, right? We forget as we go through. We still think, oh, this could be it.
Yeah.
But let me ask you, what were some, I've asked this question a few times in these interviews, what were some bankers for you? So you've been in practice for how many years?
15.
Okay. 15. So what is the thing for you, if you, when you look back now, you go, you know what, we've always done that, that's always served us well, or if there's more, then let us know. What are some things that you've done consistently in your practice for the last 15 years that you look back and go, wow, that's really been a practice builder for us? What would you say?
I would say, I'm so glad you're asking this, because I know we're all going to have different answers. And I truly hope that we all have different answers. And this is one that I would say, the moment that I got this, my practice shifted and everything changed. The moment that I started realizing, man, this is what I need to do more of. Because like you said, like, this is one thing that I'm good at. And so let me focus on that. And it was honestly building relationships, not for the point of getting anything out of it.
Got it.
Like truly just doing it just to give and to just be like, how can I add value? How can I help? How can I bring something else to the table to help? I got on so many different committees and boards and things of that nature where I was investing time into it and I didn't know if I was ever going to get a single patient out of it. But I can tell you that the time that I invested in those things has paid back to me at least 20 times over.
Wow.
And at least 20 times over. And it's because of the fact that, like you said before, the people in the front row are the ones that less likely need to be there. It's the ones that just keep showing up for the sake of showing up, because what if I get that one nugget that turns something around, or just a shift in a word, right? Like just something like that can make all the difference in the world for us and how we see things, but we never know when that's going to come. Far too often, we want things as a guarantee. If I do this, then I will get that. And that's really not how the world works. If you can give more than you actually are going to get, you're going to end up being better off and it's going to come around. So I started just building relationships with all the businesses near me. And when I started doing that, I wasn't doing it like, hey, who can you send me? And I realized when you're first starting off in practice, that's a really tough one. And even guys that I know that have been in practice longer than me, that's a tough one to say, how do I build relationships? And it's from actually caring about people and actually being a human being and saying, I actually care about what's going on with you. How can I help? Like, what else can I do? Do you need time? Do I have money that I can give to here? Or do I have resources that I can give? What is it that we can do to help out? Because that stuff always, always comes back around.
Nice.
I can't tell you how many times I've sat on a board and then the person that I ended up working with ended up being the CFO or CEO of a company down, you know, 3 years later. And they always remembered that I did those things to help out, or somebody else that, oh, they've got a connection at this major corporation. That's a Fortune 500, Fortune 100 company that I helped out and did some volunteer thing on. You just never know where these things turn up and where they end up coming down the road, where you're going to get something out of it, but you did it for the right reason. The thing is that too often we do these things as, well, I see, if I look at this board, all these people have like the great people, or I'm volunteering at this organization, they all have the best people. If I can connect with them, then they're going to give me this. And they're doing it from the wrong place. As soon as you go to it where you're doing it, and it's hard to do this, it was for me anyway, to go from, I'm not trying to actually get anything out of this, I'm just trying to do it to give. The moment that you can start doing that from the right place, it's amazing how much just starts coming to you, not because you're trying to get it. You're not trying to get anything.
You're just going, what value can I add?
Yeah, what value can I add? What else can I bring to the table? If I can bring something else to the table, it's going to come back around. Now, it might not come directly there, but it's going to come someplace else, right? It just happens like that. Like you and I have talked about how the universe works with that kind of a thing, and you're putting out the right energy and you're doing that kind of a thing. It just comes around.
Yeah.
And people think, oh, well, you've got a lot to give. Like you've got more money and resources and all that stuff. You and I have less time than most and willing to give it because of the fact, like, I don't know whatever's going to come around. I'm just doing it because it's the right thing to do. The right thing to do is always the right thing to do. And you will always win from doing the right thing. Like that's it.
So that, first of all, amazing advice there. But like, tell us a bit about, so you said you donated, so not donated, but you've got involved in committees and boards, and give us an example, give us a couple of examples, like where can people take next action? So if they go like, okay, cool, correct. Dr. Alex, that's awesome, but like, what are three places that they could approach tomorrow that could use their help?
The ones that I went to were, one of them was the YMCA. So I grew up as a YMCA kid. So for me, every summer, I always went to the YMCA. That was just the thing that how I grew up, right? So every summer I went to the YMCA. So I sat on their board because it was something that was personal to me. I was like, oh, this is a way that they poured into me my entire life. St. Louis is where I live now. This is not where I grew up as a kid. So I just found a common denominator of, well, they have the YMCA, so I'm going to go there. Right. And I can't tell you how many relationships came from that. Another one that I did was I sat on the board for Salvation Army. So I helped out. I should take that back. I didn't even sit on the board for Salvation Army. I just helped out with a specific section of that. And so because of that, I volunteered there, and their whole goal was to make sure that every family always had Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, you know, all those kind of things. So the families always had food and had presents for the kids and had opportunities that no family went without that in our community. And that was huge to me too. Right. And then the other thing was on my church. So I just sat on boards, volunteer boards for my church. We ended up, they got asked us to do things where we taught different sections of things at our church, which is a big church. Again, I didn't do any of those things for the reason of I should get something out of this. I did it because those were things that were close and near dear to my heart. And I could see how they could help more people. And so I just went and did that. So if you find three things that you're like, oh, well, these are all, hopefully when I said that, people are thinking, oh, well, not the YMCA for me, but this other organization, not Salvation Army for me, but this other one, not, you know, not church for me, but this other community organization that I love, you know, oh, well, we've done stuff with adoption agencies. We've done stuff with pet adoption agencies. We've done stuff with all kinds of things because they're near and dear to our heart. And so because of that, it always ends up coming back around. Like I can't express how much.
What I love about it is, I know that there's a doc watching this now, and they're going, "But gee, Dr. Alex, that's a ton of time." And the answer is, "Yep, it is." Like, "Yep, it sounds like a lot of work." Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, you know, there's no. It's just, it is like, you know, many times I asked that question on these interviews, and it was like, I can know someone on the other side's going, "Wow, but that's a lot of work." Yep. A lot of work, you know, that's why you are where you are. So tell us what I didn't mention in your intro, or I did briefly, but I know you help docs get on TV. I also know you help a lot of docs teach TMJ stuff, etc. So tell us a little bit about where did that start getting on TV? I also didn't mention in the intro that you've worked with a lot of professional sportsmen. You worked with the St. Louis Cardinals, more importantly, the cheerleaders. So. So tell us a little bit though about how that world of getting on media or the media world, because you know that, you know, chiropractic would be in a stronger place if we got in front of media more and started telling everyone about, you know, the great stuff, the great results we all see in our offices. So tell us a little bit about getting on media and some advice you have for people there. Where did you start?
So where I started was I just knew that I had to be, like I told you, after that first adjustment, for some reason, that was instantly, those are the two things that popped in my head. Like, I can't say it other than those were the things. Like, I'm going to be a chiropractor and I'm going to get on TV because more people need to know about this. That was it, you know? And so it was in me. And so I worked at it for years. And I've been on TV now going on over a decade. So I've done it over 11 years now. And, you know, it changes, right? So the way that you get on TV now has changed from when I started to where it is now. And even it changes from one market to another. Wow. But what I can say is I totally agree with you in the fact that if more people knew about what chiropractic was really about, then more people would go to see a chiropractor. And the way that I see that is because the docs that are in our program for getting on TV, they help more people, right? Because it's easier for somebody to say, well, my doc is actually great because he or she helped me not only with getting rid of my headaches or my back pain or let me get pregnant or whatever it was, right? Whatever that is. But he or she's also the one that's on XYZ news station. And then people go, oh, so not only is he or she legit because they helped you with this problem that you had, but they're also legit because they're on TV. And in people's minds, instant, that just goes to a different
credibility.
Instant, right?
Instant.
It's crazy. It's not, they have a commercial. They're actually on the news. And because they're on the news, they're positioned as an expert of that. And that's how people's minds go. And it just makes it easier for those internal referrals, let's say, not to mention even working with other people or corporations. You want to do a health talk at a corporation, it's pretty easy whenever you say, well, I'm also the doc that's on this news station. They're like, oh, yeah, you know, I know you.
I haven't even thought about that.
Right.
Like we get into companies, we do 3 or 4 a week in company. Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you, I never even thought about that. Just that process there of getting into, I mean, instant credibility.
Yes, instant.
So where do you even start?
Yeah, so where you start is finding out, like, I'm real big on finding out, like, all right, who is it that we need to connect with at the news station? How do we add value? It goes back to our conversation, right? Yes. It's too many people, whenever we start talking about getting on TV, they're like, okay, so when do I pitch? When do I sell? You don't.
No.
The moment that you start doing that is the moment that they start going, oh, we'll never be working together again. So you've got to know, like, how do I make this to where it works for me so that people know I'm the one? And the reason that people know you're the one is because you're the one that's already on the news. So you don't even have to, you don't have to sell. You don't have to pitch. Mm-hmm. You just have to be there and it's going to come back around. You're going to get new patients from it. You're going to get, like, those things are going to happen. And the more that you build trust with the community that's there, that's the viewership, the more that they're going to say, oh, well, whenever I'm ready, whenever you speak to me in my language and what it is that I need, then I'm going to contact you. But I already know that I like you. I already know that you're the one to help me. I just don't know that you can help me yet because you haven't talked about my thing yet, right? Mm. And so as we start doing that more and more, then they start looking at it and going, well, now I want that. And now I want to be a part of that. And now I want to come because you're the one for me to see. And I will drive for hours and hours to come to your practice. Right. And I know you see that in your practice too. And in your practices where people drive for hours and miles or kilometers. Right. And they come in because they're like, well, you're the one. And because you're the one, I'm going to go there. You mentioned about being in China, and I've got people now, I've got 3 families that are traveling from China to come here to St. Louis to get care. Because they're like, and I'm like, well, I can find somebody much closer for you. Like, you know, like I know people. No. You're the one that I need to see. And when you have that.
That would never happen if you hadn't positioned yourself as the expert by being in those positions, right?
Right, right. That's it. Once you're positioned in that way, it changes people's headspace as to who you are. It doesn't change who you are. It just changes their headspace as to who you are.
Very nice. You know what's an interesting concept there that we talk about often in my group is the process of delaying the buying activity, okay? So what studies are showing now is like people like always like, we're so clean to close the deal and whatever. But you know who I want to see? I want to see the person that's seen me on or seen yourself on news for six months and see me then on Facebook and then walk part of a community event and then and 6 months down the line goes, you know what? Like, you know, I've been meaning to come see you for ages, but I'm just at a point right now where I just know I've got to see you. Like, it's just like the greatest situation ever. You know, the longer that process, the longer they take to come in, almost as long as you are disciplined and staying omnipresent. That's and you've got systems built in. So I'm just going to try push it for one tip there for someone. Where's the first place to start? Okay, so who you find out who you need to contact in the news agency, and then well, how do you even start? Because everyone's had a bit of tips there. What do you even say to them? What's the first point of contact?
The first thing is that you have to figure out, you're right, is figuring out who do I contact? And then the second thing is how can I bring value to this and not sound salesy?
Do you send an email? Do you phone?
Any of those things. Yep. You email, you phone, you do any of that. Mm. One of the things I find that's most effective is email. But you have to be able to stand out within that because you have to imagine that these people, they're getting hundreds of emails a day. So how do you stand out within that? Because there's a lot of noise out there. So how do you stand out? And whenever you stand out, then all of a sudden you become the one that they go, oh, That's interesting. Mm. How is it that you are going to add value? You got to get me to open up the email first, right? Mm. There's got to be something in the subject line. Same thing that you deal with every type of marketing. It's how do you get them to open up to where they see what it is that you're even trying to talk to them about. Right. And so once that happens, then in your email, you've got to have things really laid out very simply so that they can quickly look at it. Because you and I know we don't have a lot of time, and people that are here watching right now, they know people don't have a lot of time. So they need to really quickly look at it and go, I understand what you're saying. I can quickly see this. Great. How can I contact you? Oh, this is how I contact you. Let's go ahead and let's see about having you on. Okay. Or they're going to go research you and look you up and look you up on Google and see, like, are you legit? Is this real? Because if I'm going to have you on TV, I've got to vouch for you, right?
Cool. So talk about persistence then, because I'm pretty sure you didn't just send one email.
No, you've got to be persistent, right?
Tell us a story about how long is it taking you to get on a particular, maybe a funny story that's taking you ages?
Well, I mean, I can honestly say that the first time that I've even got on, it took over a year and a half to make that happen before I actually got on. And you mentioned before with the Rams cheerleaders. It was my wife's idea for me to be the chiropractor for the Rams cheerleaders because my friend was already the chiropractor for the players. And she thought, well, you know, you could be the chiropractor for the cheerleaders. And I was like, really? That's an interesting idea that you would say. You know? But my wife is awesome and she's amazing. And she says, no, really. And so we started the conversation with the Rams and with the organization, and it ended up that it didn't go well, right? It just wasn't the right timing for it. And so we were just persistent. We were like, okay, well, let's try this again. And it took another 3 seasons had gone by before it actually ended up happening. And then it actually happened. But that's the thing that I think people forget is the persistence.
I just love that, because I know there's people watching this. They tried to get on news stations. Mm-hmm. They've tried to get in a professional sports team. It's taken them a year, and they think that they haven't got it, or like, that's it, they failed. But I mean, how many times have you been on national TV for now?
I've been on my TV, you know, over 200 times.
200 times, and it took you a year and a half to get on the first one.
Right. So fortunately, I figured out how to do it faster now for everybody else.
Nice. Well, that's how it happens. So you make more mistakes and you learn to help everyone do it faster. So that's fantastic. So listen, Dr. Alex, thank you so much for today. Yeah. I love getting down and, if you will, dirty with everyone and finding out exactly how was it in the beginning? Because now we see you on massive billboards and now we see you on news stations. But in the beginning, it was like all of us, you know, we're all the same. We're just trial and error, opening. Yep. We've done it 8 times in our practices, and we still make a huge amount of mistakes. Sure. So in closing, you know, maybe just give us some closing words of like, when it comes to new patient acquisition or any tips you have for anyone, what would you say to them, you know, that is probably something that they should focus on going forward now with the new era of social media and all of that. Do you have any tips for that?
Yeah, you know, talking about social media, I would say that's one place that we're heavy too, is that it's just providing content that's going to be of value. And I find that a lot of people are putting out the same stuff. Like they found like, oh, this works for that person, so I'm going to do that too. And that might not be the best thing for you to do, right? And so find the thing that resonates most with you and put that content out there, because what you're going to do is you're going to attract the people that are looking for that, and they're going to draw them into that conversation. Whatever that is, you've got to figure that out. And that's hard for people to figure out, like, what is my voice? Like, what is the thing that I should be talking about? Here in the United States, a huge problem is opioids. So I talk a lot about opioids, and I talk a lot about the prescriptions that go on with that. So much so now that I'll tell you too, and it's about to be, the ink's almost dry, but it's close enough to get to say it. Like, I'm going to be presenting to government agencies about how chiropractic is going to be helping with opioids and how it is that we can do. And I'm talking about like on the ground level, like I'm going to be talking to physicians about that. That would not have happened had I not, number one, developed relationships that I wasn't trying to do anything. I wasn't trying to gain any knowledge or anything from. It was purely for the fact of gaining relationships. Those relationships were from years ago. They happened to see something that I did on social media, and they reached out to me saying, hey, this is what we're looking for. Can you do that? And these are government agencies that are looking for that. And I know that there's going to be more opportunities for other chiropractors in other areas for that too. It's just whatever your voice is, like whatever your thing is, I have my reasons as to why I'm passionate about the opioid crisis, right? You have your reasons that you're passionate about the things that you're passionate about. We all do. But you've got to put that out there and let people know what it is. even with not knowing, is everybody going to be okay with this? And you need to know that not everybody's going to be okay with what it is that you say. Just realize that that's okay. They're just not the right audience for you. There's someone else out there that's actually begging and praying for you to say the things that you've got to say to them. They just don't even know that you exist. So the more that you can get your information out there, the more that you can use that, the better off they're going to be and you're going to be for it, because there's so many people to help.
Dr. Alex, amazing. Now that this interview is over, I can embarrass you a little bit and tell everyone my nickname. So this is genuinely my nickname for Dr. Alex. I'm not just saying this. He knows I've called him this. He's, in my opinion, the nicest guy in chiropractic. And you can see it goes right through from the way he serves, the way he serves in his... So he built his practice by serving first. Then it's all. Then really wanted to serve in a higher level. So I wanted to go mainstream media. And it just keeps coming back to you when you... That seems to be your thing.
Yeah.
The thing is, serve, and the rest will take care of itself.
They're
on an agenda without a self, too much self-interest, if you will. We know that we're there to at the betterment of the chiropractic or the bigger thing, but you're just a vessel for that. So I thank you so much for your wisdom today.
Man, I truly appreciate you having me and doing this. I know that it's for, you're truly giving. You're doing exactly what we talked about. You're doing this to give to the profession and give to our community. And I thank you for all that you're doing, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for praying. See you soon.
See ya.
Hey docs, thanks for watching the video. I hope it was helpful. If you haven't yet got my book, it's completely free, New Patient Avalanche. It's exactly how I grew my 8 practices, saw 10,000 new patients every single year from the strategies in this book. Everything's in here. It's completely free. All you do is pay for the shipping and the postage. Click on the link. I promise to help your practice grow. See you at the next video.